Good morning, everyone. The issue we're going to deal with this morning is one that you maybe never thought of, or perhaps you did think of it, or perhaps it slipped your mind, or perhaps it came into your mind when a very interesting phenomenon happened, and that is the following phenomenon. When you're in Chutz La'aretz and you're looking for a minyan, where do you typically find it?
In a shul.
In a shul. You can call a shul a synagogue, a Beit Knesset, or any of the above, and that's where you find it. But on Motzei Shabbos in Israel, when you're looking for a minyan from Ma'ariv, where do you find it? Outside, in the parking lot, in the lobby, many different places. As a matter of fact, I would say that in this day and age, it's not rare to even find minyanim, actual minyanim, in airports, outside, inside, or whatnot. And what's interesting is that this new phenomenon, as I call it, is one that perhaps is totally 100% forbidden. Not davening in airports, but actually davening outside the airport, or to be more precise, davening outside the open sky, in the openness. We all love those pictures where a guy on the top of Matzada is davening Shacharis with the sunset in the background, talis and tefillin or whatnot. Beautiful picture, but perhaps 100% usser.
Sunrise.
Sun. What did I say?
Sunset.
Thank you. Sunrise.
Yeah.
Sunset would be the same issue. It's davening mincha, and there's a sun setting behind him.
But not with tefillin.
What?
But not with tefillin.
Yeah, as long as it's before sunset, he can put on tefillin. There's a new thing today. People put on tefillin more than once a day. So,
if you're davening is either from the Beit HaMikdash or from the Avot, they certainly didn't daven in official buildings.
Very nice. So we're going to get to that later. But let's see why I say it's absolutely forbidden. Let's see. There's an old joke in the yeshiva world that certain mesechtas have no mazel. If they actually learn them, they don't learn them from the beginning. They learn them from a certain perek. So when it comes to Maseches Brachos, for some reason, there's been a joke in the yeshiva world that they start from the sixth perek, which talks about brachos. What brachos do you make on this and on that? And therefore, the rabbis can all go crazy, racking their brains of what is the bracha on chulka-covered raisins and things of that sort. However, before perek shishi, there's perek
Chamishi.
At the end of perek Chamishi, right on the bottom of the page. At the end of the perek. It's one of those prakim and shas that in the Vilna Shas actually end on the bottom of the page. It says as follows on the right side, on the top of your source sheet. V'amar Rav Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Levriyut. Al yitpalel adam, ela babayit shiyesh sham chalonot. Halacha number one, you should only daven in a place that has windows. If you recall our shiurim on davening, we explain this in different ways as to why windows is so important. Just to, if you want to go back, it's on YU Torah and you can listen to it.
To see the outside. If you're outside, it's all
it's one way of looking at it. There's another way of looking at it. If you look at the pasuk that's brought here in the Gemara, it doesn't necessarily talking about being sensitive to the outside, but rather thinking of Yerushalayim. But those are the two ways of looking at it. So the first halacha the Gemara brings is you have to daven in a place with windows. However, lest you think that, hey, since you're supposed to daven in a place with windows, let's take that to its logical conclusion. Instead of davening inside a building that has windows,
daven outside! You don't need windows.
But you don't need windows, you're actually davening outside. You don't have to look outside, you're outside. Comes Rav Kahana, Amar Rav Kahana in Tzchaz, Chatzif alai mandematzle bebikta. The person that davens in a bik'ah, what's the bik'ah?
Valley.
The valley, outside in the wilderness, is a chutzuf. Is a chutzuf. Has chutzpah. I cannot say that in English. It will be lost in translation, Bruce. That's what he says. From Rav Kahana, going on a step further. Chatzif alai mandefaresh chatai. The person that goes out and tells all his chatayim, oh, yesterday I missed mincha, today I ate pork, this and that happened, is a chutzuf. And he brings a pasuk to prove it. So this is what the Gemara says at the end of the fifth perek in Brachos. So according to this Gemara, do you believe that it is a halacha that you're not allowed to daven outside? Look at the words carefully, the words that are bolded. Rav Kahana says, the person that davens in the outside, under the open sky, is chatzif alai. He is chutzpah to me. What does that mean? Usser? Bad idea? Think about it for a moment. Is there a halacha in this Gemara saying usur, or is the Gemara basically saying not a good idea? However, probably not a good idea. But we'll see in a few moments how the Rishonim dealt with this Gemara, saw this statement of Rav Kahana, and had to decide, does he mean not a good idea? It's chutzpah. But if you have to, you have to. You have no choice. Or usur. Absolute halacha. It's another way of saying, don't do it. He was just telling you how bad it is. However, the problem with this Gemara is that it goes against many, many other Gemaras that you find on the left side of the page.
So this had to be written late.
I don't know when it was written. From my perspective, the Gemara is the Gemara. When it was sealed by Ravina and Ravashi, it's one book. So since the same book has different statements, we're about to see a bunch of statements that actually go against what we just saw. And the first one Bruce alluded to a moment ago, and we'll see what it means.
I'm reading a book now. It's historical. Rabbi Lau, about the people who are courting right now. In Rav Kahana's time, there's a Sassanid dynasty taking over the Persian Empire, which is very anti-Jewish. And it could be when he says, don't daven outside. If we don't know why he said it, maybe. You don't daven outside because the guy will come to kill you. And it may, so to know why he said it is very important. As opposed to just Stamach was going to do it. Why did he say it?
Look. The way that, in my humble opinion, you're supposed to learn anything in the Gemara is to take the Gemara statements as law, understand it. Sometimes you have to do what it says. But then you can ask yourself an additional question. Why did Rav Kahana at this specific time say what he said? However, I don't believe that what governs what Amoraim or Tanaim said is historic events. They didn't make up laws based on historic events. Had that been the case, they would have said, because the Romans are out to get us, therefore A, B, and C. Which then you can deduce, when the Romans are not out to get us, this doesn't apply. In other words, what Bruce just touched upon is the difference between what we call classical Talmud Torah versus what's called scientific Talmudic study.
That's scientific.
To go ahead and to say, what made Rav Kahana say what he said at this time, you can definitely say it was because of an historic reason that he decided to say it at this time. But he wasn't making it up at this time. He was basically taking a halacha that perhaps people forgot, that perhaps people somehow put in the closet. And he said, now, because it's so critical, I want to remind everyone of a halacha. But a halacha, it probably is, or if it's not a halacha, it's still chatzuf in the eyes of Rav Kahana, whether the Romans are there or not.
In Masechet Shabbat, they discuss Hanukkah candles, where to light them.
Yeah.
And they say it's preferable outside.
Right.
But sometimes you have to go inside, and they specifically discuss the Persians who worship flame.
I don't recall the Persians in that Gemara. But that is a very good example. It says, B'sha'ata sakana, you light inside. So therefore, you can go out and deduce. When it's not sha'at sakana, you can light outside, even though what I just said now is an interesting point of controversy, because once it went inside, it was hard to go outside. Very much like the people that go out for Yisker and don't come back in. So ultimately, the truth is that I don't believe that when you learn Gemara, you're supposed to go and say, the only reason Rav Kahana says this was because of the Romans, or because of this or that, and once the Romans are in there, then we can just throw it away. No, you could definitely come out and say the reason what basically made Rav Kahana in that day in the Beis Medrash say what he said was also because of things that were happening outside. Very much like if indeed people today are in a terrible sha'at sakana, they're in a terrible time of stress, and you want to go out and you want to tell people to daven, you can take out from the shelf the Ramban, Nachmanides, who says there isn't a mitzvah biblically to daven every day, and so I want to remind everyone that the Rambam says it's a mitzvah to daven once a day, every day, biblically. The Ramban disagrees, but he agrees in one situation. You know when? B'sha'at sakana, when there's a great terrible danger on the Jewish people. So now we're in a time of danger, and I want to remind everyone to daven. So it's not that you can go and say, the only reason the Ramban said what he said was because he was being persecuted. No, he said what he said, because that's the halacha. But when did I take it out of the shelf and actually use it? Or to be more precise, quote it? When there's a sha'at sakana. So that you could say. In any case, after this commercial break, we have Rav Kahana's statement that says you shouldn't daven in the open, and it's actually chutzuf. However, if you look on the left side of the page, you'll see that there's many, many, many Gemaras that disagree. What's the most classical of the Gemara? In the same Masechta, Maseches Brachos, Daf Kafav Amud Bet. Take a look and tell me. The most classical Gemara about davening. There's a big machlokas if davening is keneged korbanot, to remember or to basically correspond the times of the korbanos, or
the avot,
the patriarchs. So the Gemara says that one of the patriarchs was Yitzchak, Isaac, for those that don't understand, and Isaac, Yitzchak, went out and davened. Where did he daven? It doesn't say he davened inside. So if that's the prototype from which we learn mincha, how can you come out and say you can't daven mincha in the wilderness, outside in the open sky? More than that, famous Gemara at the beginning of Maseches Brachos, the second page in Shas, talks about Rabbi Yossi. I was walking and I saw one of the destructed homes of Jerusalem, and I went into Davin, and Eliyahu HaNavi came and he gave me Musar and he bought me over the head and he taught me three things. And one of the three things that he taught me was, when you have to Davin, don't go into a house to Davin as you're walking, but rather Lamadati Shemit Padalin Baderech, you Davin on the way, you get off the highway, you Davin right there. So two Gemaras in the same Masechta that seems to connote the opposite of Rav Kahana's statement. Yitzchak davened in the field, and Rav Yossi was given Musar by Eliyahu HaNavi for not davening outside. But if you want to go further, what do we do on a fast day? Not a fast day like we have, an historic fast day, but rather a fast day that you have to do ad hoc because of a clear and acute present danger. Right, motzein and tatayiva lerchova shel ir. You went out to, you brought the bima outside, and you daven in the street. So if it's a big issue to daven in the street, how can it be at a time of terrible stress when there's a drought in Israel? The first thing we do is let's violate the halacha. That's the first thing we do. If it's a halacha not to daven in the street, how come the halacha is that dafka on a fast day you bring it out? Furthermore, and this is already a diuk, and you can disagree with this, but I happen to love Masechet Bikurim for two reasons. Number one, on those long Shavuos nights when there was nothing to do, you opened up a machzor, usually Masechet Bikurim is printed inside, because the first fruits were began to be brought to the Beis HaMikdash from Shavuos all the way to Sukkot. So, in most machzorim, they have a Bikurim inside. So I love Masechet Bikurim. The second reason I love it is later on in life, my son's bar mitzvah parsha was Kitovo, which starts out with Bikurim. And we did a siyum on Masechet and Seder Zvarim, and that's the last Masechta and Seder Zvarim. So Masechet Bikurim, it says, Ketzad Ma'alinat HaBikurim. How did they bring up the Bikurim to Yerushalayim? So everyone would come along, and they would all come into a city, and it says, V'nalin berechova shelir, v'lo yu nichnasim lavatim. They would sleep outside, and not in homes on the way. There was no hotels, and they didn't sleep in the hotels, they slept in the street. Damichtom l'David, the Michton Ladavid, who's Rav David Sperber, you can see his years on the bottom of the page. He basically comes along and medayek from the Gemara the following. He says, why did they sleep in the street and didn't ask to sleep in your extra bedroom at home? Because they're going to the Beis HaMikdash. If you go to the Beis HaMikdash, you have to be in a state of purity. So they didn't want to get impure in the house. And he adds and says, Fa'af anu nomar deshamayumi padalim kulam. And not only that, but obviously if they didn't go into the house to sleep, don't think for a moment that when they woke up in their morning and they washed their hands three times after Moda'ani, that they went into the houses to daven. They davened outside too. This is already a diuk, but there's no question that the prototype of Yitzchak davening in the field. And Eliyahu HaNavi tells Rav Yossi to daven on the way, on the highway. And what we do on fast days are three irrefutable Gemaras, Mishnahs that say you can daven in the street. However, Rav Kahana says it's chatzuf. So was all the Gemara, was Yitzchak a chutzpah there? Was Rav Yossi, Yahu HaNavi telling Rav Yossi to daven on the highway a chutzpah? But what we do on fast days is wrong? How do we reconcile it? So, Mr. Weiser earlier said, perhaps it's not really a halacha, it's just bad advice not to daven in the street. And indeed, maybe Mr. Wise is right. Because if we look at the poskim, the paskin halacha, you go to the back of the Gemara and you say, who paskin this halacha? You'll see that the Rif doesn't bring this Gemara. He probably didn't paskin it. The Rosh also didn't bring it. And the Rambam didn't bring it. From this, maybe we could deduce that it's not a halacha. It's absolutely 100 equivocally not a halacha. If you want to be a little more sophisticated on that and explain it a little more, there's a little pilpul here, where the commercial break its work. There is a famous work called Aparkasta de Anya, written by Rav David Sperber. Rav David Sperber basically lived into the 20th century. He was a rabbi in Romania both before the war and after. Rav David Sperber says, why is it that this halacha was not paskened? Very simply, there's a machlokas in the Gemara if you daven because of the patriarchs, you daven because of the korbanos, and we paskin that you daven because of the avos, and the avos davened outside, so we paskin against the statement of Rav Kahana. Of course, with due respect to that diuk, which is very interesting, I think that, if you think about it, we didn't necessarily paskin in the Gemara that we daven mincha because of Yitzchak, and not because of the korban tamid. However, any way you look at it, the korban tamid was brought outside in the Beis Mizbeach, and Yitzchak davened outside. So when we daven mincha shachris and ma'ariv, all those things were done outside. They weren't done inside. Whether it was the avos or the korbanos, yes. Also, that's right. He davened outside. It says explicitly the day later he went back to the place that he stood. Then with Avram you can take it both ways. Either he was davening inside in a certain place or outside. But there's no question that we have prototypes of davening, be it the patriarchs or be it the sacrifices. They were all done outside. So perhaps Rav Kahana's statement is not correct.
If for centuries people are davening in buildings, what difference might it make if prior to that it began outside, if over the course of time it became the accepted norm to daven in buildings?
Because Bruce, today is the accepted norm to daven outside. We make a minyan outside everywhere, at weddings, Motzei Shabbos, we make minyans outside all the time. So I don't care what was, what is. I'm asking, is it usser or mutter?
You have an indekel every day.
Is it usser or mutter?
So you look at the Jews do.
Exactly. So just to let you know, the Ma'adanei Yom Tov, which is a famous Peirush on the Rosh, says this is not Paskin Lahalocha. We have all these Gemaras against it. You can forget about Rav Kahana's statement. Very nice he said it, but it's not Paskin Lahalocha. Everyone can go daven outside and there's no problem. However, the Tor, who's the son of the Rosh, does bring this Halacha, Lo Yitpalel B'Makom Parutz Kemo Basadeh, and the Shulchan Aruch, which is already a big problem for us, says, in Simon Tzadik 90, Lo yitpalel b'makom parutz kemo basadeh, v'bnei keshehu m'makom tzniyut chalalav emas melech v'libo nishbar. And the Mishnah Berurah adds the Prima Gadim, da'al kein in izdamen lo bayit she'ein bo chalonot uvika, tov yoter yitpalel b'bayit she'ein bo chalonot. So it's interesting, the Shulchan Aruch paskins the halacha that you have to daven in a place with windows. And he also paskins Rav Kahana's statement, you can't daven under the open sky. And the Mishnah Berurah says, if you have a choice, davening in a home without windows, or davening outside, where should you go? Inside without the windows. Now we had a problem, see. Until now, we could say this Gemara is against Rav Kahana, the Rif, the Rosh, the Rambam didn't paskin that way. But when the Shulchan Aruch paskins that way, we got more of a problem for us, because we all have pretty much accepted the words of the Shulchan Aruch. It's not by chance that in English, how do you call the Shulchan Aruch? The code of Jewish law. And there's a reason for that. Yeah. The Jewish people has accepted the Shulchan Aruch. So since the Shulchan Aruch did pass in Rav Kahana's statement, now we have to think halachically, what's the reason for Rav Kahana's statement? So where do you find the reasons usually for statements in the Gemara? You gave a scientific historic analysis. I'm asking, what's the reason halachically, legally, for this halacha? If it's a halacha, then what's the reason halachically for it? And name, in other words, not historically, why did Rav Kahana say it at that time? Whatever he said it. An apple fell on his head that morning. That's fine. But what's the reason that he says you're chutzah for davening outside? Says Rashi, and indeed the Shulchan Aruch quoted Rashi, the reason is concentration. When you daven in the open sky and people are walking and coming and cars are going and coming, you're not going to concentrate on davening. When you're inside, that won't happen. Says Rashi, "Kishehu b'makom tzniyut, chal alav emas amelech v'libo nishbar." When you're in a place that is a place of modesty, then the ema, the awe of the God, is upon you, and you'll daven properly. Tosfos basically agrees with Rashi. He says that in a place that's open, people always walk by, and therefore you can't concentrate properly. So both Rashi and Tosfos and that Gemara basically say the same thing. And that is, why can't you daven outside?
You'll be distracted.
You'll be distracted. fine. So there's no problem per se outside. It just happens to be the outside is a public thoroughfare. People are coming and going. And you won't be able to concentrate on davening properly.
Let's say the shul is closed. Other reason, maybe you are on the field.
We'll get to that. We're going to get to that very soon. What happens? What happens when indeed you have no choice? But we're not going to get to that as of yet. We're saying at this point, you get up in the morning, can you daven on your merpeset, on your balcony, under the open sky? Do you have to daven inside? The Shulchan Aruch paskened inside. Rashi says because outside you're distracted. You see cars, you see people. There could be a breeze, there could be rain, many different things that could distract you. Tosfos basically agrees.
Even if you're in a noisy shul, where they distract you.
When you're in a noisy shul that they distract you, you should try to do everything possibly to reduce the noise, because everyone's there to daven. But when you're outside, then not everyone's there to daven. You can't tell the cars, hey, I'm davening, don't go by now. I know in Israel we have this phenomenon that at a red light, certain people with certain kippahs on their heads get out and dance, but quite frankly, you cannot go ahead and tell people as they're driving, hey, don't drive now, I'm davening shacharis. Hey, wait 10 minutes. You can't wait 10 minutes, I'm davening mincha, you're going to distract me. That's not an egocentric statement, I don't know what is. The Meiri doesn't exactly go down the same route of distraction. He says the following, The Meiri basically says you shouldn't daven in a place that mefursam le'inei hakol, that is public to the eyes of everyone. And you also, as the Gemara continued earlier, you shouldn't tell everyone about your averus. What is basically the Meiri saying? You're supposed to lead not a Facebook life, but a modest life. There's supposed to be certain things that in your life is private and intimate. And one of the most intimate moments in your life is talking directly to the Almighty in prayer. And therefore, says the Meiri, when you are doing that intimate act, you should go to a corner, or you should go to somewhere that's modest, and you should act modestly. But when you go ahead and you do it in front of everyone, not only is it wrong, it is just the opposite of tzniyas, of modesty. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called by Yeshayahu HaNavi Kel Mistater, a God that hides. He hides so well sometimes that people don't think he exists. What do we call such people?
Atheists.
And we have a Tzelem Elokim, we have a divine image. And we're also supposed to be modest. We have to decide what we put on Facebook and what we don't put on Facebook. And therefore, says the Meiri, at the most intimate moment when you talk to the Almighty, you do it in a private place. You don't do it in front of everyone, where everyone looks at you and you make it very known. Just like, he says, the Gemara continued in the same name of Rav Kahana, just like Rav Kahana said, you shouldn't daven outside, he also said, don't tell your sins to everyone. The Magen Avraham, which is the parish on the Shulchan Aruch, goes a step further. He says, not only is it not modest, but when you daven outside, you're really a chatzuf. You're really full of chutzpah. Or to be more precise, you're the most haughty balgaiva I know. Says the Magen Avraham, based on the Tosfos, because there was questions against Tosfos, says the Magen Avraham, why can't you daven outside? I quote, Shemareba atzmo shafil yavru alav kol ovrei derech lo yitpalel mikavanato. When you daven outside, you put on your talis and you're still and you're davening outside. And there's cars coming and people looking and people even saying hello to you and you don't say hello back. What are you basically saying?
We're on a higher level.
Nothing bothers me. It doesn't bother me that people are coming and going and there's so much ruckus happening. I have great kavana. Says the Magen Avraham, that's the height of haughtiness. You go in a place where you know you'll be distracted, and you show everyone, mainly your friends, oh, I can do it. And it doesn't bother me. It's like the Torah says, you shouldn't look at immodest sights, and you go ahead and you say, no, to me it doesn't bother me. I'm not a man, you know, I'm a malach. No, I look at all these terrible sights of women that are undressed. Doesn't bother me. Doesn't make a difference to me. I'm not human. I'm already on a higher level. Says the Magen Avraham, when you daven outside in a place that you know intentionally is a place that you can be distracted, you're basically telling everyone, oh, I can handle it. I'm better. You can't handle it, but I can handle it.
This is the same discussion they have with reading the Kriyat Shema on the evening you get married.
Very similar, yes. You're quoting the Tosfos on Why is it that today, even though the Gemara says not to say Kriyat Shema the night you get married, we do. They say today because we don't have Kavana any night of the year. And comes to Tosfos and says that if you think you won't read Kriyat Shema, you're saying you're better than all the rest.
What are you, exactly?
So therefore, it says the Magen Avraham something similar. So just to reiterate, until now, Rashi and Tosfos says you can't daven outside because people are coming by, you'll be distracted. The Meiri added on that you're supposed to daven in a place that's modest, because it's an intimate moment and not a moment everyone should know about. And the Magen Avraham went a step further and says it's the height of haughtiness because people will distract you, and you're like making a statement, it doesn't bother me. Yes.
Here in Efrat, we have two minyanim outside for Mincha.
Yes.
And one of them is sort of like in a basement where doors are open and you hear people coming, going all the time. It's very difficult to have kavana, but they seem to be accepted.
Yeah, but again, if you daven in a place without kavana, so don't daven there. It's not an isser, though. The isser is to daven outside. The second minyan that you're referring to that's in outside, that's what we're dealing with today. Inside, if it's a minyan you can't have kavana in, don't daven there.
All right, another question.
Or lock the doors, whatever it is, but don't daven there.
I was startled the first time I saw it, but now I just take it for granted. Every time I go into Yerushalayim or Tel Aviv or any place else, I see a certain group of Hasidim getting out of their cars at lights. And sometimes
we just
still
said
out
that.
Of their cars.
That's not davening.
I mean,
that's not davening.
It's not good davening, but it's a good
it's nonsense. People who don't have a life, so all of a sudden.
All right, we're not going to.
You don't want to get into
this. This is not the topic this morning, gentlemen. There's a picture there on the table. You can ask him as to what that is. But okay. Gentlemen, the fourth reason is a little more, I would say, on the gvul, on the boundary between a drasha that you give on Shabbos and halacha. The Maharsha brings it up and says, not really, but the Rashash actually says, yes, really. And that is brought in the name of what the Maharsha says, Tav Resh Yud. You can look it up afterwards and see who he's referring to. And he basically says the following. When you daven in a place that has windows, you're basically saying, oh, if I don't have windows, there's no way that my tefillah goes up to heaven, because it's not that God is here, God is there, God is everywhere. God is outside, so I have to look outside, make sure the windows are touch open for my tefillah to actually physically go up to heaven. So taking that to its logical conclusion, he'd say, you may come to the false conceived notion. You should daven outside. Then for sure your tefillahs go right up to Hashem, because you're under the Shemayim, you're under the heavens. Therefore, you can't daven outside, because you may have this false notion. The Maharsha brings it and doesn't like it. The Rashash brings it and likes it. And basically he says, that's why there's a balance here. You have to daven with windows, but don't have the false conceived notion that the windows are the reason that the tefillah is going up to heaven. God is everywhere. He can hear you here in a closed room, or there in an open room.
We have Techelet, which is the color of the sea, and it's close to Shemayim, yeah. And then you think of God. That's what I think of windows, not that you think the prayers go up.
Right, but there are people that have false conceived notions.
Gives you more inspiration.
Correct.
The same way that the Techelet does.
Yeah, false conceived notion. You mentioned people before of that particular
strike.
Group of the Jewish people. So there are, in that group, people that like to meditate. And the way they meditate is they go into the forest and they scream out to God something along the lines of, my father! And you hear it sometimes when you go to these various woods around Jerusalem. So I once was in one of these places and I had a guy that was doing it. And I asked him in a very nice way, you know, you're making a fool out of yourself. People look at you and laugh. I said, you know that. Yes, he knows that. I know that. So why don't you do the same thing, even because you think it's important, in your home? And his answer he gave me is, because God doesn't hear me in the home. You have to go to the forest outside the open sky. And that's exactly what the Rashash says. You shouldn't think. Because if you think that way, then you're basically making a statement. God is only out in the woods. He's not here in my home. Now, if he would have told me, I can't concentrate in my house because there's too much noise, I need to go to a place where there's no one, I would understand. But that's not what he said. That's not what he said. In any case, gentlemen, we found four different reasons as to why Rav Kahana says you can't daven outside, which is Paskin and Shulchan Aruch. Number one is because of the distractions. Number two is because of modesty. It's an intimate moment. Number three is because it's the height of haughtiness that when everyone's distracting you, you're basically saying, no, I can take it. And number four, because you may have the false conceived notion that only outside do your tefillahs go up to heaven. Now, based on these four different understandings of Rav Kahana's statement, Paskin and Shulchan Aruch. Let us now think. Is there a certain time when you can daven outside where one of these things won't apply and you could say you can daven outside?
Yeah, maybe very early in the morning.
Perhaps early in the morning. In other words, davening outside when there isn't the public thoroughfare. Very early in the morning, you're on top of Mount Matsada, no one's there, not a living soul. Well, there are living creatures, but not living souls. Are you able to daven? So according to Rashi and Tosfos, who says it's going to ruin your concentration, probably yes. According to the Meiri, that it's a modest moment, then probably no, because it's not modest that on top of Count Matsada, you're going to daven. But if no one's looking at you, maybe it is modest, I don't know. According to the Magen Avraham, it says it's haughty, people are coming and going, and you're not distracted. Maybe you're not distracted, the Kaaba Matzada. But according to the Marsha and the Rashash, bringing the Tuf Resh Yud, it's absolutely 100% always unequivocally usser, because you can't daven outside, because you may have the false conceived notion that only outside is there Kavana. If you turn the page, before I take your question, the Mishnah Berurah says, V'hinin lecha terusha de toisvos, im omed betzad aderech b'makom she'eno mitra yere, she'afsiko ovrei dachim, shori! Ach bebet Yosef, ma'en b'divrehem. He says that according to my understanding of all these four possibilities as to why you're not allowed to daven outside, if you can find a place where you won't be distracted, three out of the four reasons don't apply. And therefore I think it's okay. So if you find a parking lot where no one's coming in, or if you find an area outside but it's sort of off the beaten track, it's probably okay to daven there. But the Mom Beit Yosef didn't exactly go that way. He's Mima'en B'divrahem, saying he's a little worried. We still have that Marasha saying with the false conceived notions, you may think you can only daven outside. Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking of a place like at the Kotel where there are many men that are...
You would just happen to think of the place like the Kotel, huh?
No, place like
that. You just like it came to mind right now.
Yeah.
Really? You didn't look on the source sheet?
No.
No, you were playing with your phone. Okay. So, comes along Bruce and says, what about the
Kotel?
Rabbi, very nice shir. You can't daven outside. Find a place that is public, and yet they don't bother you. Perhaps you can daven. Let's say Motzei Shabbos, you can daven at the building, but it's sort of off the beaten track, and you're not looking at the street, and you're facing the other way. Perhaps three out of the four reasons don't apply, and you can do it. What about the Kotel? So guess what? That's a huge question. That's not a small question. The Kotel is outside. How many Jews have come to the Kotel in tears, and it wasn't because they were in the little tunnel, they were outside? The Kotel is outside. It's a bona fide shul. People daven there, people walk there, people go there on various occasions, especially on high, lofty occasions like Hoshana Rabbah, Shavuos, and whatnot. What about the Kotel?
That should meet all the requirements for not davening outside.
You got it. There's people coming and going. It distracts you. It's not modest. It's haughtiness. It's everything you wanted right at the Kotel.
You're up at the Kotel. There's no one coming over. They won't back you.
Not at all. Bruce,
have you ever been to the Kotel on Hoshana Rabbah? Have you ever been there for Birkas Kohanim?
No. Come any day and some shmendrik looks for
and
money.
And people look for money. Are you kidding me? Are you really kidding? No, you're at the Kotel. No one bothers me.
He's haughty. He's the haughty one. The
comes along. The Tzitz Eliezer, Rav Eliezer Waldenberg, who lived in Yerushalayim, who was the posik for Shari Tzedek Hospital, the Tzitz Eliezer, who died a few years ago, does something that I think poskim have to do today. If there is something that the Jewish people have always done, and then you find a Gemara and a Shulchan Aruch that says it's Aser, what should be your gut reaction?
What?
If there's something the Jewish people have always done, and then you find a Gemara and a Shulchan Aruch that says what they're doing is wrong, what should be your gut reaction?
Either that's a dug up in the Gemara, or there's a reason why the people are allowed to...
Exactly. Your gut reaction should not be, hey, stop doing what you're doing, I just found the Gemara. That's usually what a teenager does, right? When he's starting to get closer to Judaism and to Torah, he comes home and tells his parents off, hey, you shouldn't make Kiddush on whiskey, you shouldn't do this, the cup is not big enough. He comes along and goes ahead and he knows better than everyone. But if there's something the Jewish people have always done, and we know people have davened at the Kotel for hundreds of years, and we've seen pictures of Gedolei Yisrael davening at the Kotel, and the Kotel is a very important place for us, and today, in the year 2016, the Kotel is under controversy because of the reasons we all know, then your gut reaction should not be, hey, it's also to daven there anyway, so let's just forget about it. Your gut reaction should be, well, why did the Jews daven there all these years? So the Titzel Yezer starts out and saying, first of all, it's a very holy place. We all know that there's beautiful Midrashim saying that God never left his holy presence from the Kotel area, correct? And we have beyond that the fact that it's right under Har Habayit, and it's a beautiful place to daven. So if the whole idea is concentration or lack thereof, the Kotel is a wonderful place. But halachically, he says, there's two reasons why the Kotel is 100% mutter. Number one, because the Kotel has mechitzos around it. How big is a wall in halacha? If you want to make a sukkah, what's the minimum? 10 tefachim. 10 tefachim. If you want to make a ma'akeh on the top of your roof so people don't fall down, it has to be at least 10 tefachim high. If you have to make a separation between different plants that you plant in the field, kilayim, has to be 10 tefachim high. 10 tefachim is a wall in halacha. So therefore says the Tzitz Eliezer, if you look around the Kotel Plaza, what's there?
There's a
little ramp going down. So he says it's mukaf mechitzot, and therefore it's not considered an open place. An open place is where there's nothing around you, like a valley, a bik'ah, and you daven there. So that's the first reason why the Kotel is mutter. It's actually enclosed halachically. There's no walls going up to the sky, but it's halachically enclosed. That's the first reason that he says you can daven there, and it's not considered an open place. So already here you can begin to deduce that if you have an area like a parking lot, even though it's open to the sky, but there's walls around it, perhaps it would probably be mutter to daven there. Yeah.
It's the same thing that the Jews did in the Beis Hamikdash, Kayam.
Right, correct. That's a bigger shaila, right? That's why probably the Rif, the Rosh, the Rambam didn't even paskin this halacha. But the second reason he gives is even more fascinating, and he says the following. He says the whole halacha of not davening outside is when you daven alone. But if you daven in a minyan, or there's a minyan present, like at the Kotel, almost any moment of the day, then it's okay to do it. So therefore, we have now found the biggest heter for our davening outside. Lack of concentration there might be, lack of modesty there might be, haughtiness there might be, false conceived notions there might be, but if there's 10 people, it's like you're an enclosed little area of yourself. So if there's a minion outside, then it's okay. I would add on a third reason, that's the Magen Avraham, that says that if you're actually in the field and you're walking on the public thoroughfare and it's time to daven, you can daven outside as well. It's only when you have a choice. But the Kotel is a place where you daven in a minion. So therefore, gentlemen, we learned today an interesting statement of Rav Kahana that says you can't daven outside, it's chutzuf. And we had a big debate. Was it halacha? Or is it just bad advice to daven outside? Because quite frankly, we have many, many Mishnahs and Gemaras that talk about people davening outside. And never did it reprimand them. Yitzchak, the prototype of davening, what we do on fast days, the fact that Eliyahu HaNavi gave Musar to someone for going inside. And we try to understand if it's halacha or bad advice. The Rif, the Rosh, the Rambam all didn't paskin it, but the Shulchan Aruch did. We gave four reasons why. Either because it's going to ruin your concentration, lack of modesty when you daven, haughtiness, that I can take it, or false conceived notions that only when you daven outside that your tefillahs go up to heaven. So, we basically had to say very nice reasons. Is there a ramification? So the first ramification was brought up by Dr. Savir, and that is if you can find a place that you can still have concentration, and it's outside, namely a place where no one goes. And the second nafkamina is our Kotel, our holy Kotel. And we saw that Tzitz Eliezer went out of his way to explain why the Kotel is 100% kosher. And indeed, that I think should be the way we approach things like this. If I would have come this morning, I say, hey, you know, there's a statement of Rav Kahana and there's a Shulchan Aruch. You may have looked at me and said, okay, I'm walking out and I'm going to tell every minyan on Motzei Shabbos you can't daven outside anymore. And you'll post it up on the shul and everyone will get mad at you. Or you can take another approach. And what's the approach of the Tzitz Eliezer? If there's tens, maybe even hundreds, of minyanim outside, there must be a justification for it. And what was his justification? He gave two, but what's the one that's going to apply to us? If you daven in a minyan, this whole halacha doesn't apply. In other words, the halacha, paskin and Shulchan Aruch, based on Rav Kahana's statement, is only if you're davening alone. And I think that's a very good, important lesson for us. And we learn Shulchan Aruch, and everyone's teeth is white, it's fine. When you look at reality and you say, how could Jews violate the halacha all these years, and with a minyan yet? You have to break your head and say to yourselves, well, there must be a reason. Versus going along and saying, Asur is Asur, what? People eat treif and people eat speak Lashon Hara, so they daven outside too. Hard for me to believe that people would come before Kodesh Baruch Hu in davening, and the first thing they do is do an Aveira right before davening. And therefore, the Tzitz Eliezer went out of his way to try to explain it. Yeah?
What about if you take the culture, let's say 200 years ago, where things were ruined, you didn't have a minion, from, you know, what we judged from the pictures, there wasn't a courtyard. It was a little narrow area in front of the kotel where people stood.
If you think about it, there was a mechitza, because halachically there was a wall behind them. That's mechitza number one. The kotel is mechitza number two, and probably on the sides there were also, so there wasn't so bad. What do you mean? No, that's a halachic mechitza, whether you like it or not. I remember once in sukkahs, I'm walking and I saw a sukkah of 10 tefachim on three sides, and one of the people there said, that's not a kosher sukkah. I said, due respect, maybe in your eyes it's not a kosher sukkah, but it is a kosher sukkah. Well, we can measure. And we measured it, it was, and he said, It's not a kosher sukkah. It's not a kosher sukkah. Like he walked away trying to say, it doesn't look like a sukkah. Maybe it doesn't look like a sukkah, but it is.
Well, if the mechitza's purpose is to separate so you're not distracted.
That's not the mechitza's purpose in this case. No, he wasn't saying that. He was saying that if there's a halacha not to daven in the open, we have to try to find a situation where it's out under the open sky, but not in the open. So what did he say the open was? A bikah. Bikah means no walls. But if there are walls, you're already not in the bikah. Just like when you learn anything about an eruv, anytime there's a controversy about an eruv, and you ask yourself, well, how do they build an eruv? So the first thing you're probably going to find out is that maybe what we think is open is not open. There's so many buildings on both sides and whatnot. Maybe what we think or conceive is open is not open.
When I ask you about the distraction question, I've done many weddings. It's quite a technical halakhic mitzvah. There's plants that are 10 tefachim high.
Yeah.
You can see both sides.
Yeah.
It's just as distracting.
You're talking about a different halacha of mechitza, and that is the mechitza in the shul. Maybe next time we'll talk about it. What's a mechitza or a wedding hall mechitza for, and what is the ramifications? But quite frankly, that's a different halacha, not between men and women. We're talking about a mechitza that creates a domain. How do you create a public or a private domain? You need mechitzas. What's a mechitza on halacha? When we say mechitza, I mean wall.
That's the problem.
Part of this was about being distracted.
Correct.
Then that doesn't solve that purpose.
It doesn't solve the problem of distraction, but it does mekayim the halacha of not davening in the open. Yes?
There's controversy now because of the women on the wall and their insistence, on having women.
Yeah.
There's controversy that says that you shouldn't because the kotel is not for davening. And maybe this is a way then.
Someone said that the kotel is not for davening.
It's probably the lady. It's
what's the kotel for then?
It holds up it's a retaining wall, the kotel. It keeps the pebbles and the rocks from. If it isn't there, don't.
Allow me
close.
To answer. If the kotel is not for davening, there wouldn't be a controversy about it. The fact that it is for davening is what the controversy gets.